Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a child, I was frightened of the dark. This was in large part my own fault. You see, I had a record of scary stories that I would listen to at night before I went to bed, stories like The Headless Horseman, The Telltale Heart, Dracula's Castle, and I would listen to these stories over and over again until I fell asleep or until I freaked myself out. And it would get so bad that at some point I would throw all the covers over my head and lie there as still as possible. And to make matters worse, this was an old record, and it would skip at one point, and it would repeat over and over again the sound of screams and baying wolves and maniacal laughter. And convinced as I was that something would reach out and grab my ankles if I would get out of bed, I would just sit there in the dark under the covers listening to this go on and on. And those moments were terrifying. And at some point, though, as the record continued to skip, my mother would call up to me, "Honey, are you okay?" Now, looking back, I can only see how strange that must have looked to my mom to come in to see me lying there motionless with the sounds of screams repeating over and over again. But she would come in and she would speak to me and she would turn on the lights and she would assure me that there was no headless horseman underneath my bed. Nothing calmed my fear like that voice and that light. The people who walked in darkness, the prophet Isaiah said, have seen a great light. But before there was a light, there was a voice. And that voice belonged to John the Baptist. "Who are you?" the people asked. And John tells them that he's merely a voice. There's someone who is coming after him who they do not know, but who will be worth knowing. And the one who comes after him is so great that he would not even be worthy to tie his shoelaces. John doesn't seem to know many details. He doesn't seem to know how or even when this one is coming, but he only knows that this coming will be light in the darkness. And John is waiting. And we're waiting too. Advent is that time when we, the church, are waiting. It's a time when we sit in darkness and we listen for a voice. That waiting is not easy, especially when you're waiting in the dark, when there's no light. When you don't know whether you're going forward or backward, what are you waiting for? Some of you, maybe you'd like a deeper, richer prayer life, and so you pray and you pray, but it seems like you're just talking to yourself. Why does God have to be so elusive? Why not some decisive, undeniable revelation here and now? Or perhaps you read Scripture, and instead of being enlightened, you become frustrated. It all seems so strange and foreign, and you read and you read. Why does God's Word have to be so difficult to understand? Why doesn't God just simply show up and instill some kind of true meaning for these words? Or perhaps you've prayed for healing, and God has not given healing. What then? We pray, as we said a few moments ago, that our Father in heaven may deliver us from all manner of evil. And you have faith. You have faith that God loves you, and you have faith that God hears you, but you know, it would be really nice It would be really good to see that love here and now. I don't know about you, but I like to be in control. I like to know that I'm taking steps forward, meeting my goals, getting somewhere. In the dark, I don't know where I'm going. In the dark, I'm scared, and I don't like to be scared. I feel helpless and vulnerable in the dark. But so much of the Christian life is spent in darkness and spent waiting and yearning and leaning forward to that which we need but we don't have. We live in that meantime, in the time between now and not yet, and we always have. Christ has come, but he hasn't come fully. Light has come into our darkness, but there is still darkness. What are you waiting for? You know, too often waiting gets a bad rap. But show me a person who is not waiting, not wanting, not hoping for something better, and I will show you someone who has given up and who has settled down with the way things are. And that's not just sad. Biblically speaking, that is dangerous, because the future belongs to those who wait, for those who know that we are meant for something better. The present darkness is not our final destination. And that's a great part of the message of Malachi. Like John, Malachi was a voice. A voice spoken into darkness, a voice stirred by the Spirit, telling people that there was a light coming. He was a watchman standing on a hill looking east, telling others that it was almost dawn. And he told them that this present world is not fixed, it's not final. The time is coming when the day of the Lord will dawn, and all will see it together. A world breaking open into something new and wonderful. There is, of course, a warning here. If you accommodate to the present darkness, if you accept the things of the world, whether it be money or ambition or sex or whatever, if you accept those things as ultimate, if you adjust to the way that things are, then you better watch out. The day of the Lord, that day is coming. And it shall set ablaze, says the Lord, in a burning oven, and all that will become like stubble. Trees without root or branch, ashes underfoot. It's no accident here that the imagery that Malachi uses consists not so much in the supernatural things, but rather in that which is natural and known. The present order is given notice. But for those who wait, for those who hold out hope, there's a promise. Now is not all that there is. God intends to have the world as his own, and he will get what he wants. And he won't stop until he gets what he wants. The sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And God will hear you. And remember you and spare you. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. Like John, Malachi was waiting. He was waiting for something beyond his imagination, greater than any of his own efforts could ever muster up. And he was telling the people, he was telling us not to give up hope. Telling us that our yearning is not just wishful thinking, that our waiting, even waiting in the darkness, is an act of faith, a deep an abiding belief that God hears and he cares. And he will come and he will deliver. And like John, Malachi doesn't give much detail. He didn't know the details as of yet. He didn't know the complete shape of that hope. He was a voice in the darkness. And so things are sketched out in poetry, in shades of light and dark and fire and brimstone and leaping calves and suns with wings on them. But thankfully, on this side of the incarnation, we know our hope. Our hope has a face. At one time, this face was the face of a baby, soft and red and pudgy, like all newborns' faces are. But in time, that face became hard and set like flint to the place of the Father's justice and our redemption. Our hope has a name, God with us. And better than that, our hope speaks. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I have come like light into the world. Whoever believes in me will not remain in darkness. Our hope is in the one who came from Galilee, shining in the darkness of our world, in the darkness of our sin, and our pride, and our anger, in the darkness of the grave, and was not overcome. Our hope is in the one who rose. Our hope is in the one who will come again with healing, and not just with healing, but with resurrection in his wings. But not now. Not yet. At least not fully. Right now there is yearning and waiting and expectation, and that is good. Malachi and John bless that waiting. Together they say that it's a great place to begin. Because the way to find fulfillment is first to know that you are not fulfilled. The way to see the light is to first to admit that there is darkness in the world and in ourselves. It takes a great deal of hope in a I'm okay, you're okay sort of world to admit that we want, in fact, we need the advent of something better, a light that shines in our darkness. And God promises those who do wait, those who pray, those who hope for the light to break the darkness. Those who wait, that is us, we shall see, and we shall know, and we will be filled. In Jesus' name, amen.